Well, good morning. What a joy to be here in the training center of West Virginia for the servants of the Lord. And I heard my pastor say something the other day that thrilled my heart. He talked about you, the students of Appalachian Bible College, and the fact that your motto, the motto of Appalachian Bible College, is servants. Servants for the Lord. And because life, our life, is for servants. And as servants, we see a lot of things, don't we? In this world that we live in today, we see a constant battle all around us. America is at war today. You are at war today. If you're a born-again Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're at war today. You are at war today. And I hope that you're in the battle. What a beautiful song we just sang. And we need to remember, life is for service, but while we're in the service here, we have to do what God wants us to do. Your president talked about a commander-in-chief. Today, he didn't know that I had one of those in my notes. My commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him every day. I want to be faithful to Him in every aspect of my life. I want to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ for their sake and for His glory. In 2 Corinthians, which is where our verses come from this morning that we will mention several times in this message, as we look around America today, the signs of warfare are everywhere. We look around the world and we see China and Russia and Ukraine and our southern border here in America. Battles are going on all around us. We look at within America, we see critical race theory being taught as something that is good and ought to be right and ought to be something that we stand up and fight for and protect. But God teaches us very differently than that. We are all equal in His sight. He died for each and every one of us. He wants each and every one of us to realize that there is only one race. And that's the one that He created. And that we need to be steadfast in the liberty that He's given us, serving Him and trusting Him in every aspect of our lives. Wokeism is, I still don't understand what wokeism is. But I'm not really sure I want to. I just want to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given me. And I want to warfare, be in the war every day that He's called me to. Spent 25 years in the United States Army. A couple of combat tours and overseas tours. And drug my beautiful wife around the world several times on different things. Trying to serve this nation. And what a privilege that was for me. Notice Dr. Reinhardt's tie today. If you see it, there's a whole squad of soldiers across there. There's soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, even Coast Guardmen. There ought to be a fifth one there, brother. But listen, God refers to you and me, all of us, as His soldiers several times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And we'll talk about strongholds in a little bit. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Christians are living in a war zone. We wrestle, the Bible says in Ephesians, our meditation verse this morning, Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Seems hard to imagine that you could wrestle against something and it not be flesh and blood in our lives, but it is. It's a spiritual warfare. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I don't know what your spiritual condition is today. There may be someone here this morning that has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I hope this morning will be the time that you will choose to see the truth and trust Jesus as your Savior. God refers to you and me as His followers. He calls us soldiers in the Scriptures several times. Paul commended some of his partners in the ministry by calling them fellow soldiers. Philippians 2 verse 25 says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier." Philemon chapter 1 verse 2 mentions, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier." Our war is very real today. Our warfare is very real today. There's a common theme in the New Testament concerning spiritual battles that every believer faces. Hebrews 10 verse 32 says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Your music director this morning talked about wanting to live in this world and leave this world with a testimony of having served the Lord Jesus Christ honorably and honestly and faithfully all the time that we're here. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I would very much like that to be my testimony when I leave this world. Our battle rages inside of us every day. James 4:1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts, which war in your members?" All of you know that you sin. You know, if we said that we have no sin, we'd make God a liar and the truth isn't in us. So we know that we sin. I've heard of people say that they don't sin. After they got saved, they don't sin anymore. That's not true. And why is that not true? Because God says so. Okay? God tells us that He knows our very thoughts from afar off. And that is why we need to be vigilant soldiers. We need to be hiding God's Word in our heart. We need to be in the Word of God every day. We need to be praying and trusting Him to help us and guide us and direct us. And you know, God tells us, and I'll read this verse in just a few moments here, but God tells us that when we trust Him and we put Him first in our lives and we submit ourselves to Him, that He protects us. You know, I've been in different military battles and details and places where one of my responsibilities was to make sure that the soldier on my left or the soldier on my right or my commander was protected at all times. My commander protects me. My commander has put a shield over my head to comfort me and to keep me. And as long as I'm in the battle, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry. I can trust Him completely. The Bible tells us about a great battle that's being waged in the American culture all around us today. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." We must know and remember constantly that it's a spiritual warfare that we're in. A spiritual warfare, not a physical war. Ephesians 6:12 again says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Secondly, we see the provisions and the equipping for war. As a soldier, I had several different types of rifles. I had different kinds of weapons. I carried a bayonet on my hip. You know, there's things that God give us for warfare. We were even trained to engage in hand-to-hand combat if necessary. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual. We are and have been fully equipped for the battles as Christians that we face. It's a spiritual war. So, God taking care of us, as our commander-in-chief, has issued us special weapons for this warfare that we're in. He's given you every weapon and every tool that you need to live a victorious Christian life here on this earth. We remember that the Bible teaches us about the armor of God and that we are to, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you have the truth. You have the truth. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Soldiers in old times used to run around with breastplates on them. Our soldiers today have armored vests. Our police officers today have bullet protective vests. I don't think they're proof anymore. We've got new ammunition that seems to be able to penetrate about anything anymore. But listen, that's important. And having our feet shod, listen to this, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? It is the gospel. The gospel brings great peace into your life and my life. It lets us know that we are freed. We have been set free from the sin of this world, guaranteed a heavenly home with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is your weapon. Offensive weapon. The one that you can take out and stand against the wiles of Satan. We are fully armed with the truth, which is the Word of God. In Romans 13:12, it tells us, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are completely equipped for the battles that we have to fight. If you're in the Word of God, if you're on your knees in prayer, if you're trusting Him daily, He is preparing you, equipping you, helping you stand fast in the battles that we'll be fighting day after day in our lives. Let's look at some of the battlefields that we're involved in today here in our culture. There are many battlefields that could be identified, but here are four major battlefields that you'll recognize that are occurring here in America today. First of all, the legalized killing of unborn babies. Something that I can't imagine doing. It's the most horrific thing that I think the human race could do. The Israelites carried their little babies to a hot god down in the valley of Hinnom, over the hill from Jerusalem. and sacrificed their little babies to a god called Molech, laying them up there on a shelf that was red hot, killing those innocent little lives. Americans have murdered millions and millions and millions of them. And more are being killed today. Even though our Supreme Court, I believe, very wisely and graciously overturned the Roe versus Wade decision, taking it out of the hands of our national government somewhat. They're still fighting every day to try to preserve it. But listen, I want to thank the Lord for the Supreme Court decision. But listen, how can God bless America? How can God bless a nation that destroys the most innocent life? So we ought to be praying for our nation. We ought to be standing fast in the battle every chance we get to speak out against this horrific crime in our nation. May not be a crime against the books of America, but the last time I looked, God's law said, "Thou shalt not kill." And I believe He holds these precious little lives very, very tenderly to Himself. Secondly, we have the deconstruction of religious freedom going on in America. They're doing everything it seems they can, they being Satan's minions, trying to destroy the freedom of religion in America, the freedom of our right to worship our God and our Savior as we want to. They're trying to take away these things. They're trying to accuse you of being the ones who are bringing critical race theory and things like that to light because of the God that you serve, of the religion that you have in your life. It's even extending to the criminalization of religious expression in our land. Fourth, the rebellion against God's design for marriage in the home. Homosexuality is rampant in America. Let me tell you that that is against God's law. God speaks about it several times in the Bible. And anything God says is bad, you trust Him that it is very bad. Also, we have the rejection of the first Bible principle. Dr. Ken Ham's been here to the college recently, preached a lot of messages on this. But the rejection of the first Bible principle, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God was in the beginning. God always was. God is. And God always will be. And we need to teach each other that. We need to teach our families that. We need to train our families up in the nurture and admonition of God. But as you go out into the ministries that you're going into, whether it's out on a mission field or whether it's in some secular profession even, here in America, stand fast in the truth of God's Word. Stand fast in that liberty. Each of us, each of these things that I've just talked about that affect us this way as going against the Word of God and going against the will of God in our nation, we need to understand that these things are what are causing people to be blinded to the truth of the gospel. What's my job? My job is to share the gospel, to share the truth of God with other people around me. These things cause people to be blinded to this gospel. Remember our verses for today, but if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Fourth, we have the ultimate victory, which is already secure in our lives. But listen again to 2 Corinthians verses 10, verses 3 and through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God, and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In order to be a good soldier, you have to surrender your life to Him. You have to surrender your thought life to Him, your physical life to Him. Everything that you are, we must surrender to the Lord. The Lord will win the war. You know, what a comfort that is as we see things and we become sometimes very discouraged by all the things that happens in our life, but we can look around and realize we win. We win. If you know Christ as your Savior, you win. You're on the winning side. The Lord will win the war. Actually, He already has. He already has. If you belong to Christ, you're standing right now in and on the winning side. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a long time. Forever and ever. But he's a defeated enemy who is still fighting every day to try to cripple you somehow in your walk with the Lord, to try to stop you from doing the ministry that God's called you into. And lastly, the battle plans that we have to execute until the victory is delivered. For we walk not in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to determine to engage in the battle. Engage in the battle. The most significant hindrances for our side are not that we fight poorly. It's that we do not fight at all. Are you in the battle? Are you fighting? Are you really doing what God wants you to do? If you're at Appalachian Bible College, I praise God for you and I pray for you every day. And I want God to be working in your heart and in your life to draw you to the place where He wants to use you mightily to draw other people to Christ. If you're saved today, you've got somebody you need to really be thinking about often and thanking every day. That's that person that brought the gospel to you. You want to be a hero in somebody else's life? Win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's somebody that you will have on your heart the rest of your life. And listen, we have to determine to engage in the battle. We have to live holy lives of obedience to our commander. He gives us this standing operating procedure called the Bible to use in our lives every day to help us know where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be doing it. And that He is working all the time in you and through you to do His will in your life, which is to bring glory to Him by being humble and obedient to Him. Live holy lives of obedience to our commander. Be Christ-like in our confrontation with other people. Remember, other people are not our enemy. I'll say that again. Other people are not our enemy. They are being used. They are being manipulated. And they are being enslaved by our enemy, Satan. Remember that. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He is our commander in chief. Let the power of the Holy Spirit engage you, bringing about fruits of the Spirit in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are all things that God wants us to have in our lives, to follow after, to seek after, and to do His perfect will. And we need to fortify our homes and our families against attacks. You ought to spend time in prayer every day, asking God to protect and help your family, the one you have or the one you're going to have. I'm going to be a great-grandpa. Next, I think it's about February 22nd or so. Do you know I'm praying for that little guy every day? I'm praying for him. I pray for my grandsons and my granddaughter. I pray for my dear wife every day. My son and my daughter. My son-in-law who is like a son to me. A blessing from God. Pray, pray for yourself. And pray for those around you. That God will do His mighty work in caring for them, protecting them, enabling them, equipping them for the warfare that they are going to have to fight every day. Your president is someone here who is like a pastor to you. You ought to be praying fervently for him every day, that God will protect him and keep him and guide his steps. Be thankful. Be thankful as a Christian. God wants that in your life. And we're to use the privilege and the blessings of the election process, the federal election process that we have in America to choose our leaders for the future. We need to go vote, and we need to go vote biblical principles in our lives. For whomsoever much is given, much is required. Of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If you're in a leadership position, and you are, you need to pray fervently. God will equip you to do what it is that He wants you to do. And in closing here, I want you to remember to be a spokesman always for the Lord Jesus Christ. Share the gospel so that people who are trapped by Satan's lies can be set free. The way to win a battle is to deliver the gospel to someone who accepts it. Let me repeat that. The way to win is to share the gospel with someone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, Christian, you're in a battle. You're in a major battle. America needs a great revival. We have a great evangelist preaching at my church tonight. I heard him preach two messages yesterday. He just really fired up my heart. Just really fired up my heart with what God wants in my life. But listen, listen. God wants you to realize that He is the one who keeps you, protects you, and loves you. Psalm 140, verse 7, a good one for you to commit to heart. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. But listen, some of you may not be in a battle. You have not yet become a follower of Christ, maybe. You know, I know that I've ran into people in my life who said, you know, I got saved about six times. But I didn't really get saved till the seventh time. And if you're one of those people, let me ask you today, hear the Word of God. Hear what He's saying to you. He gave Himself just for you, so that you, by trusting in Him, you know, if you ask Satan today, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He'd say yes. Do you believe that He can save the world? He would say yes. He would answer all those questions about Christ truthfully. But He'll do everything He can to twist it and turn it and lie about what it takes to get there in your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you to today.